Today's gospel is found in Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's service is a little bit abbreviated, as Lynn said, because we're heading up north. We'll be done at 10:15. So I wore my traveling pants. If you've been coming to the Ray Vanderlaan video series, you notice every time Ray walks around, he has these zip-off pants. So I thought I'd wear those today as we're going up to the rim a little bit later. Well, today's gospel, do not worry. Jesus knew, didn't he? Jesus knew that worry would be a big part of our lives as humans. How did he know that? He had a mother, right? Remember Jesus in the temple? He was left behind in Jerusalem for 3 days, and his parents were anxiously searching for him, it says, to which he said, "Why are you searching? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" How would you describe Jesus? I would say he is completely non-anxious. Jesus is relaxed. And today he gives us the admonition, don't worry. But it's not don't worry or else, like, or some kind of warning. It's an invitation to not worry, because worry doesn't give us a whole life or an abundant life. It's the opposite. He wants us to have a settled trust in God our Father. So don't worry. Why worry? Well, that's much easier said than done, isn't it? Worry is anxiety. My father-in-law was an expert at worrying. I remember a Christmas when Chris and I were just newly married, and her sister and her husband, we were walking 5 blocks from the house they lived in to the house of her oldest sister in the evening in Minot, North Dakota. Now, this was pre-oil boom. Minot was a cricket sleepy town, nothing going on. But about 15 minutes after we arrived at the other house, the phone rang, and it was Wayne on the other end, and wondering, he said, "I just wanted to make sure you got there safely." 5 blocks? You're with these two daughters of his were worth their husbands. I think that we would have been okay. But he was an expert at worrying. In fact, I learned about the family that if you were taking a trip and leaving their house, if you didn't call when you arrived, he would be calling you and saying, "I was worried sick that you had an accident," or something like that. Now, in my family, it's like no news is good news, so that was a really different call. But worrying is something that we do, isn't it? I have here 2 chairs. One is a rocking chair, and the other is a solid chair with wheels to illustrate 2 responses to life. Where worry takes us, that's the rocking chair, and where settled trust takes us, that's the solid chair. Hope you can follow me. I didn't tell you, Darlene, about this. I'm moving over here. Gotcha? So worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but you don't get anywhere, right? You can just worry and worry and worry. And Jesus says not to worry, which sounds like a command, but like don't worry or else, but it's really something to avoid because he's appealing to what gives us life. You see, anxiety is like an itch. However you want to think, I'm not going to scratch that itch. It doesn't go away, does it? And worry can be like that. And so he identifies some worry here in the scriptures. He says he worries about if you have enough to eat or if you have clothes to wear. And a couple weeks ago, as we talked about our giving Father, I exemplified what does it mean when we pray in the Lord's Prayer for our daily bread? And Martin Luther identifies daily bread as a lot of things. He says, everything you need in life is our daily bread. So that's food, clothing, work, property, work. Well, I said that already. Home, income, a devoted family, orderly community, good government, favorable weather, peace and health, a good name and true friends and neighbors. Wow. God gives us our daily bread. Why worry? But there's a lot of categories in there, and I think those categories represent a lot of our worries, don't they? So what Jesus is wanting us to do is instead of worrying, just sitting and going nowhere, he wants us to have a settled trust, a secure foundation, that we're not just anxious, but that we are secure and whole and set. I think what he would say is turn your worries into prayers. And to illustrate that today, I have here a paper bag. Can you all see the bag that says God on it here? Hopefully you can all see it in different angles. Now, I'm going to illustrate a way to turn our worries into prayers. And this is, maybe you want to do something this practical. It can be actually doing this, or you can just imagine this in your own way. What you could do is get a bag like this that says God and put it somewhere high, like somewhere that we have to get a ladder almost to get to it. Because what you're going to do is place into this bag your worries. And when you place it in the bag, it's as if you're giving it to God. Now, if you take it back, you got to go fish it out and take it back out of there. So it's just kind of like this. Food. Do you worry about having enough to eat? Most of us probably don't worry about that. But maybe we worry about what kind of food we should eat. Or are there some people that are really worried about if they have organic food or healthy food? That can be a worry, but we don't need to worry about that. We can just place that right there in the God bag. Clothing. Now, I remember when our kids were in school, and it was this time of the year going back to school, and wondering, okay, we need some new pants for our kids because they grew over the summer, and their pants are up to here. So we need to get them new clothes. But how are we going to afford all those new clothes and the big shopping spree of going back to school? That can be a worry, but we can place that right there in God's box. Home. You ever worry about your home? Maybe it's not where you live, but do you worry about what if the sprinkler goes out? What if the washing machine breaks? What if, what if, what if, what if? Worry. It doesn't get you anywhere to worry. So you can just place that right here in that bag. Work, will I have a job? A lot of you are retired, but maybe at the time in your life you're wondering, am I going to keep my job? What if I do the wrong thing? It can be a worry. Property, car, you worry about your car breaking down or getting in an accident. All those things can, again, lead us to worry. Income, will it be sufficient? How about a devoted family? I think that we do a lot of worrying about that. Think about it. Do you ever worry about your grandchildren or your children? Do you worry how they're going to get along? They're going to have a lot of friends? They're going to do well in school or in life? Those things, God says, let's not just worry about them. Again, settled trust. Place that in the worry bag. Orderly community. We hope for that. Some things we can control and some things we can't control. We can do our part like a good government. How many of us are worrying about the next election because you don't like the way the country's going? Well, that's a worry. And how do we address that? Well, we pray about it. We give it to God and we put it in here. Favorable weather. I was worried about that today. We're going up to the rim, and we might have a thunderstorm. And I could sit and worry about it and go, wow, I hope we have good weather. Hope we have good weather. But actually, can I control the weather? Some people think I can. I remember at different weddings where the couple would come to me, thank you for praying for a nice day. Well, wasn't me alone that prayed for a nice day. And then as Dan said, when we were practicing for the music, he said, pray for favorable weather in Arizona. It's probably going to rain because we like rain in Arizona. But I like what the Swedish folks say is actually there's no bad weather, just bad clothing. So just wear layers and you'll be fine, and rain jackets and all that stuff. Peace and health. Do you ever worry about your health? I think some people are chronic worriers when it comes to health. In fact, there was a man who went to see his doctor for every little thing. And he was suffering from a miserable cold, and he thought it might be the start of cancer. So the doctor prescribed some pills, but they didn't help. The next visit, he went to his doctor, who gave him a shot, and that didn't help him either. On his third visit, the doctor told the man to go home, take a warm bath, and when he finished bathing, throw open the window and walk outside in the winter when it's 20 degrees outside. And he said, well, doc, if I do that, I'll catch pneumonia. And the doctor said, well, I can cure pneumonia. Right? Worry. How about a good name or true friends and neighbors? You know, I think that is something we do worry about. We want to have people respect us. We want to have credibility. We want to be liked. I think that's one of the worries that I have. Is that I want to be liked, I want to be happy, I want to do a good job, I want to be a good pastor. And it's my birthday on Friday, and one thing that I like to do and think about is, what is a goal for my life? What is a goal for this next year? And I was reminded of a quote by Teddy Roosevelt, and it's a great, I think, quote to live by, especially when you're in a role of leadership as I am. He says, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again. But there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms and the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Teddy Roosevelt was an amazing leader. And I think that's really true for all of us, to not let the critic have the end of the day, but to know who we are in God. That's what this does. It takes our worries and places us in secure trust. Now, if I put all these things in the bag, and you can create your own list of worries, the deal is that if you take it back from God, you got to go fish it out, you know, and go, okay, what was that? I wanted to worry about a good name. Okay, where is that one? Oh, that's not it. Oh, here it is. You see, that process helps us remember, why am I not just giving that to God? Why am I not just allowing God to take that worry? And I wouldn't want to admit, and I think all of us, how many would say, how many times we've given a worry to God and then we take it back and worry about it some more, right? Jesus wants us to move worry to a settled trust. And so what Jesus is getting at here is that while worry is like a rocking chair, keeps us busy but doesn't get us anywhere, a settled trust is like this solid chair. Relax. God has this. Give your worries to God so that you can move. See? You can move in this chair. And it's not just moving somewhere. It's moving forward, or as the case may be here, won't run into your guitar. It's moving toward the cross. That's what it does when we move our worries to prayer. We focus on the cross. We focus on Christ. So why worry? I like what Mary Crowley said, who's a great philanthropist and author. She says, every evening I turn worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that you've given us this amazing gift of life. Life that is relaxed, life that is not full of stress. And Lord, those things come at us. They make us anxious and worried and fearful. But God, you're asking and you're hoping and you're inviting us to turn our worries into prayer and really to give account to your word. You're working in us. Your ability to work through the problems, to say that there is going to be trouble in this world, but take heart, you've overcome the world. So Jesus, thank you that we are hope-filled, given the opportunity to not be people who are anxious and stressed out, but people who have contentment, solid trust, and a settled trust. Thank you that we can turn our worries to prayers. In your precious name we pray. Amen.